Dear friends, many in the United States, including you and me, we have a lot of resources. What do I mean by that? Well, we have things like decent health, so we're able to do things on our own. We have either employment, or we have pension, or we have Social Security. We probably have some money in the bank. We have family and friends who could help us out in a time of need, and other resources as well. When we think about people who are unbelievers, what do? When they're in need, they either rely upon themselves or they rely upon their resources. How are we called to be different? As Christians, as believers in Jesus, we are called to be different by not relying upon ourselves, by not relying upon our resources, but by relying on the triune God. We're going to see an example today of how King David, the great King David, began to rely upon himself, and it was a really bad situation. So we want to learn from what happened to him so that we don't do the same thing. Well, getting into this, we have to look a little bit here at the backstory, first of all. So later in David's 40-year reign, he was probably in his late 60s at the time, reigning over the nation of Israel, he ordered that all of the fighting men in the entire nation be counted. Now, when we think about counting resources, what is that indicating? We are counting them because we are relying upon them. That's what David was doing. What did the Lord do? The Lord disciplined David by sending a plague upon Israel, and it was such a horrible plague that 70,000 people died because of what he had done. So what did David do then in response? David realized what a horrible thing he had done, relying upon himself, relying upon his great resources. So David expressed his repentance by buying a particular piece of property, building an altar on that property, and offering a sacrifice then to the Lord. Well, in this sermon today, what's going on here? We're focusing on Psalm 30. Now, what is Psalm 30 about? It was most likely written to dedicate this particular piece of land that David had purchased for the sacrifice. And what is significant about this piece of land? That is the piece of land that David's son Solomon eventually built the temple on there in Jerusalem. So that's how Psalm 30 fits in here. As we get into the text here, I have to give you just a little bit more of a backstory here. So David had been severely ill. He was so ill that he was near death. And then the Lord healed him. And this takes us right into the psalm now as David is expressing his thanksgiving to the Lord for the healing. The psalm begins like this. David wrote, "I will exalt you, Lord, for you have lifted me up, and have not let my enemies rejoice over me. Lord my God, I cried to you for help, and you healed me. Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol, that is, from the grave. You have kept me alive, that I would not go down to the pit." Let's try to think this through a little bit. So when we become ill, you or I, we may be tempted to rely upon ourselves, to rely upon our resources. I'm going to share with you maybe what I've done at a time in my life and see if maybe you can relate to it. So, okay, I'm not feeling well, so I've got the plan. So I will take some over-the-counter medications, I will drink more fluids, and I will get more rest. I think that's going to fix it. However, if it doesn't, then I will call my doctor and make an appointment, or if I'm really sick, I will go seek emergency care. Is God in there anywhere? No, it's all I. I'm going to do it. Well, what did David do? David relied on the Lord. So David prayed to the Lord. The Lord heard his prayer. The Lord showed him mercy. The Lord restored his health. And what did David do? He did the proper thing. He gave hearty thanks and praise to the Lord. That's a proper way to proceed. Going on to the second part here, we should praise the Lord for his goodness. So David continues, sing praise to the Lord, you his godly ones. In other words, people like you and me who are trusting in Jesus. We are the godly ones. Sing praise to the Lord, you his godly ones, and praise the mention, the remembrance of his holiness. And then think about these words here. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may last for the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. So there can be times of difficulty that God causes in our lives for good reasons, but it's not going to go on and on. Think about what the Lord has done for us. The Lord has transformed us. So we sinned, we were helpless, but the Lord stepped in, he washed us clean, he made us his own. What should we do? Boy, we should greatly, greatly praise him. We are so very blessed. But this is an important one I want to go over now. But the Lord disciplines us, though. So imagine this happening to you or me or maybe some other believer. But here we are, though. So we do believe in Jesus, and now we begin to go into sin. So we're living now in opposition to God, and we know we're living in opposition to God, and yet we keep doing it. In other words, we're not cut off from Christ yet, but we're living without repentance. We're going our own way. We're doing our own thing. What does the Lord do? The Lord causes us to struggle. He may inflict us with illness. He may do something significant in order to get our attention. Why does he do that? He does that because he loves us. He does that because he wants us to repent. So we're always tempted to go our own way, do our own thing, but the Lord knows that that will spell eventually, that will spell eternal disaster. So the Lord loves us so much, he intervenes to get our attention. What happens when he gets our attention and he restores us? Again, we have great reason to praise him. We might say, oh Lord, that was so hard the way I was struggling. But then we're like, oh, I get it now, Lord. Maybe I didn't at the time, but I can see that you were doing it because you loved me so much, and now you have drawn me back. So the Lord, just like a parent disciplines a child out of great love, the Lord disciplines us out of great love. And then in the third part here, the proud will fall. David continued, now as for me, I said in my prosperity, I will never be moved. Lord, by your favor, you have made my mountain to stand strong. So this is David's pride. But then the psalm continues here. We come to the bad news. You hid your face. I was dismayed. So we'll come to all this in a moment. But first of all, though, David is like, hey, I can do it. I got this one, Lord. So David looked at his greatness, and he was certainly the greatest king of Israel, apart from our Lord Jesus Christ. So he had all this greatness. He had these vast resources. And what did he say? I will never be moved. So what a dangerous thing. So he forgot that his greatness came from the Lord. He forgot that his vast resources came from the Lord. Paul gave us these words of warning. Let the one who thinks he stands, like David was, let the one who thinks he stands watch out that he does not fall. So anytime we're relying upon ourselves, we are really inviting the Lord to knock us down. Isn't that a horrible thing to do? Do you want the Lord to knock you down? Okay, think you can do it, and he's going to knock you down. He's going to do it, though, in great love. But is it going to be pleasant? Probably not, but he's going to do it in great love. What could we say happened here? The Lord shut off David's blessings, but it was for his own good. It was to show him his sin. So is the Lord working that way in your life now? Is he shutting off your blessings? Are you struggling and you don't know why? God wants us to be open to his word. If we're living in sin, he's calling us to repent, and he will bless us again. In the fourth part here, it is good to confess our sins. David continued, "To you, Lord, I called, and to the Lord I pleaded for compassion. What gain is there in my blood if I go down to the pit," in other words, to my death? "Will the dust praise you? Will it declare your faithfulness? Hear, Lord, and be gracious to me, Lord, my helper." So first of all, let's understand with confession, it must be true. We can say all kinds of things, and we could even make it sound convincing to others, but the Lord knows the heart. He knows whether it is sincere or not. So the Holy Spirit moved David to write a good number of Psalms. So if we jump from Psalm 30 for a moment, all the way near the end to Psalm 145. Think about these words here in verse 18. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. So for people who are rejecting the Christ, or for people who are saying, I love that sin and I'm going to continue in it, that is not calling upon him in truth. And there are probably many people in those situations who are calling upon him, and the Lord is not paying attention to those prayers. When we think in the reading earlier how Saul was praying to the Lord, he was calling upon him in truth. May God help our prayers to always be that way, always a truthful prayer. What was David doing? David was pleading with the Lord to show him mercy. He wasn't saying, help me because I deserve it. He was saying, show me mercy because I am a sinner. We are in the same situation. We can never say, Lord, you have to do it because of who I am, because of what I did. No, it's always based on his mercy. In a sense, David was saying, Lord, I have done wrong, and I deserve punishment, but I'm asking you to hold back the punishment, and I'm asking you instead to gift me with forgiveness. It's not that we ever deserve it, but we want God to give us that precious gift of forgiveness. So what happened? Trust has returned to David. So we can see that he was relying upon himself. But did you notice at the end of that section, David prayed, Lord, be my helper. So David was no longer trusting in himself. Now he's trusting in the Lord. May God help us to do that too. And then the final part here, I'm calling it hearty thanks. So it says at the end of the psalm, you have turned my mourning into dancing for me. You have untied my sackcloth and encircled me with joy, that my soul may sing to you and not be silent. Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. So kind of summarizing here, David went from a very low point. So David had turned to himself. David had brought great trouble upon his nation. David had become severely ill. David was near death. So he was at a very low point, but he went from that point to a very high point. So by the grace of God, he saw his sin, he pleaded with the Lord, and he was healed from his sin. He was healed in his body. So we could summarize it this way. David's mourning had become dancing. David's sackcloth had become silk, maybe something like a burlap type feel, to something that was very wonderful. David's heart was full of joy, and David's lips were full of praise to the Lord. So quite a turnaround. So David, when he was trusting in himself, didn't go well. When he returned to the Lord, that was a great blessing. Don't try it out. Don't be like David, but rather keep trusting in the Lord. One final thing here before I pray, I want to share this passage with you. And it's the passage that every time I think about it, I'm always calling it the Goldilocks passage. So you know the Goldilocks story about Goldilocks and the three bears. So when you think about the bed, one was too soft, one was too hard, one was just right. Or what about the porridge? One was too hot, one was too cold, one was just right. You're going to see it when I share the verse here. So at the beginning it says, "Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Not too much, not too little, just what I need." What is the problem if the Lord gives us too little or too much? Proverbs goes on, "Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God." We probably have a tendency as human beings, as sinful human beings, that we always want more and more and more, but let's realize there is a danger in that. The more we have, the more we are tempted to trust in it. And we know that's not going to be a good thing. Think about what happened to David. So may God help us to realize we have certainly what we need, and we even have many things that we want. May God grant us the great blessing of being content, knowing in Christ we are forgiven, content with what we have, and looking forward to the great blessings to come in eternity. Let us pray. Dear Lord, blessings are wonderful, but they can entice us to trust in them rather than in you. Therefore, help us to learn from your word and always rely on you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, Amen.